My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drink it if you won't quit driving that old hot rod liquor. Setting the bait. Stories chew, I'm here to say, cause I was driving that Model A. It had a Model A body, made it look like a pup. Legging motor that was really souped up. Had 8 cylinders, used them all. With overdrive, it just won't stop. 4 living gears and a dual exhaust. Had a 4-barrel carb, you can really get lost. Safety tubes, I ain't scared. The brakes are good and the tire's fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. Stars were shining bright. I was climbing up the Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they were standing still.
This is a storytelling song, a famous one at that. In fact, say the name Bill Kirshen, and those who know him think Hot Rod Lincoln.
Passed me by, and a remark was made, that's a car for me. But then the taillight was all you could see.
Oh, and they also think of Commander Cody in The Lost Planet Airman.
Down my hat, pick up my walking cane. I'll step out of the light into the pouring rain. You know I don't mind, I can't really feel any pain. Just 3 doors down is Johnny's place. And the people there.
Oh, and then there's his Telecaster. Bill Kirshen is a celebrated guitar master, and he will be the featured artist in residence in September as Polka Notes presents Faces and Voices 4 at the historic Tripp House in Scranton.
Out here they call it midnight on the strand. And the joint is jumping.
Dolores Hippler and Patrick Harper have a vision, and it's filled with sound, guitar sounds. At first it was the blues, and it's become much bigger than that now, though it is guitar-centered, certainly. They invite a renowned roots-type guitarist and a photographer or photographers who capture images of musicians, and they bring everyone together to perform and to take pictures and to tell stories, all kinds of stories. Patrick Harper tells us more.
When Dolores and I started doing this Faces and Voices event, we really had an idea of what we were doing, but that idea has changed based on the artists and the attendees that have come and helped to shape this into the thing that it is now. The pairing of photographers and musicians was a brilliant stroke by Dolores, because what we found is that both of those groups are trying to tell stories. And often the photographers are chasing down musicians to try and tell their stories visually, while the musicians are trying to paint word pictures in their music. And a lot of the stuff that we've done has been shaped by the attendees as well, in that we've had people say that they're going to come for the concert, but they come a little early to see people sitting on a porch, telling stories and playing a little music and laughing and joking and talking. And they found that somehow they've enjoyed that as much as the concert itself. The exhibits and the place that we have the exhibits, the Tripp House, the historic place in Scranton, puts a framework around all the stories that the people are trying to tell visually and musically. So it's a really, really cool, interactive thing that we have going on there.
And despite the changes and the developments and how the personalities affect what happens each and every time, there is a through line in terms of the musical choices, in that this is a chance for us to hear particularly guitarists who are rooted in a tradition that is American. It's a music that has been important to you and Dolores particularly.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, the music that these particular people that we have gravitated to and have gravitated to our event play is rooted in storytelling. And the storytelling has ranged from the old Deep South back in, the turn of the century to current day things. But the stories they're talking about are timeless. They're talking about love and want and need and joy and striving. And all those things coming together are stories. And the folks that do this are not flying in their private jet back and forth from Madison Square Garden to Los Angeles. These guys are working musicians who do this because they love what they do and what they're talking about. There could be a lot of easier ways to go about it, things that would pander more to larger audiences. But there's something about the truth of what these guys are saying with their instruments and their voices that just, it gets into you and doesn't go away. It sort of tells the story of who we are as people, as a country, as people who came to this country, and the joys and hardships and just the life that occurred through that period of time, or through all the periods of time of all of our lives. And to see this stuff performed and enjoyed and people being introduced to it in a venue like the Tripp House, which is from the 1700s, you know, it's a historic landmark in itself. And it's got a broad, expansive porch, and there are people sitting on the porch playing music. And there are smaller rooms, because they didn't have huge rooms back in those days, smaller rooms, which makes it even more intimate, so that when one is looking at the photography in one room and then goes into another room and sees the photography from another photographer, one is immersed in it. And when one sits in the largest room in which we have the concert, you're watching a performer who has done this all his or her life, and who is no more than 15, 20 feet away from you, and they're telling the story directly to you. It's not like you're sitting in the back of a mega stadium and watching someone the size of a postage stamp on a stage somewhere. It is something that is so intimate and so grabbing that it's really kind of overwhelming sometimes.
It's exciting that you then bring in not only images that photographers have created of other musicians, but there are going to be photographers on site who will be interacting with the musician, in this case, Bill. So it's not only past experience brought to bear in this circle that you all are creating, but then you're creating new experiences.
Without question. One of the most brilliant things that Dolores came up with was the idea of having the photographers all do an instructional type thing on the afternoon of Saturday, where aspiring photographers or people who are just interested in could get together, talk about process and ideas and how one goes about doing things and philosophy and getting all that stuff together. And they're encouraged to bring their cameras and such. Immediately following that, there is an event out on the porch where all these people are telling stories and playing music and laughing and talking with the artist, the musician that's going to play in concert. And they tell road stories and ask questions about how to do this with a guitar and that sort of thing. And while that's happening, these photographers who just attended this workshop are walking around with their cameras trying to implement the things they were just told about how to capture these shots, as well as the photographers whose art is being exhibited are walking around with their cameras. So at the end of the day, at the end of that process, there are things being created that didn't exist before because we had this event that brought people together to say, hey, come look at someone's creation and create some yourself.
Now, you have thrown yourself in with a passion, with your heart and soul, into picking up the guitar at a later point in your career, and you have met these players you've brought to us in that process, in the process of exploring the guitar yourself. What are your memories of Bill's playing, and why are you pleased that he's coming?
Well, what's astonishing about actually meeting these folks in smaller venues or in close events where you can actually speak with people like this, when I was growing up, and I'm sure when other people were growing up, these people were icons. They were as unreal as those carvings out on Mount Rushmore. You wouldn't possibly be able to speak to those carvings. They're just iconic figures. And then to actually begin to meet these people and hear from them as human beings, putting aside the talent and the music that they create, to be able to talk to them about their experience and how they feel about it and why they do it and what they get from it and how they're so willing to share this with novices and others alike, it is just, it's an experience that one didn't think could ever be possible. So to meet someone like Bill, who is one of the most iconic guitar players in the history of the electric guitar, he played with a particular band called Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, which was a smash hit all across this country. and then Bill went out on his own and became an even larger hit. He's so well respected in the annals of the professional guitar players, the guys who, the guitar geeks who think that, you know, that he's one of the top people who's ever played. And to have a person like him available in a venue like this, in events such as this where you can actually speak to him, one of the lines that Dolores came up with is, you'll get to know the artist and the artist will get to know you. And that's true because he is such an approachable, wonderful human being. And part of the criteria for being an artist that we bring to an event like this is you have to be a good human being because, you know, in the real world, there are people who are very good at what they do who you just don't really want to hang out with. But the people that we've found that are wonderful to hang out with, that are stars and special at their art, are the kind of people that we bring to these events.
Patrick Harper, co-founder with Dolores Hippler of Poconotes and the annual Faces and Voices Artist Residency at the historic Tripp House in Scranton. Dave Wetzel has become a fixture of Faces and Voices. He is a master maker of cigar box guitars. He's from Clark Summit, and he has what he calls Snickle Cigar Box Guitars. And he returns this year with a new selection of his handcrafted instruments for another interactive display in which they can be seen and heard and played. And it seemed to make sense to have Dave, a maker of guitars, talk with this year's featured master guitarist, Bill Kirshen. So we got them together by phone.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Good. Looking forward to jamming with you.
Yeah, me too. You don't make me sorry that I wasted my money on an actual electric guitar. I like your cigar box guitars so much. I may throw mine away and just proceed on. There's a couple, two or three good notes and we're in.
Yeah, that's all you need. A couple good notes there. Yeah, I've been building guitars for the last couple of years and just started getting into the technical aspects of it. And, you know, I know you play the Telecaster. I know you do something a little different with the setup on that. Could you explain that a little
bit? Yeah. Well, yeah. This is sort of limited interest information for people, but I flip the control plate around and then I flip the knobs around on the control plate and I flip the switch around just so effectively the volume and tone knob are closer to my hand so I can use them as I play.
Oh, okay. So it gives it a little different effect.
Well, it just allows me to use it as an effect while I'm playing rather than, you know, kind of reach back and stop it. The only way I disagree with Leo Fender on how he made the Telecaster.
So what got you interested in the Telecaster?
Just the people who played them. When I first discovered in the late 60s or the mid to late 60s, the great California, especially the West Coast honky tonk, I liked it all. But I discovered Merle Haggard and Buck Owens all at once, and James Burton playing with Ricky Nelson, and all those people were Tele players. And so I went, well, that's what really speaks to me now. And it's kind of like the shortest distance between two-pointed Telecasters, about the simplest electric guitar there is. It's got, you know, a plank and a stick, two pickups, two knobs, one switch, and you're done. So it's a design that's endured now. It's almost as old as I am. I think around 1948, which is when I got invented. He invented the Broadcaster, the Esquire, the Telecaster, the same basic design. So it stood the test of time.
Well, I don't own a Telecaster, but I guess if I actually buy another guitar, it'll be a Telecaster.
Good work.
Or I'll make one. How's that?
Okay, that's good, too. Very easy to make.
All right, I'm looking forward to meeting in September.
You too. Take care.
Okay.
We have a cast of thousands here. You're going to meet them all. They're all photographers who take pictures of music and musicians, and they can't wait to get their lenses right up close.
I wish I had a good side, but I have a face for radio, so I'll be glad to see them. But the work's cut out for them when they take my picture.
It's a wonderful chance to have this conversation with you, and we look forward to welcoming you to Northeastern Pennsylvania. You can't get any better hosts than Dolores and Pat, and we just can't wait to hear you and have a chance to talk with you on the porch, because that's another wonderful aspect of this time in this historic building.
That's wonderful. I love that, too. I think at this point, the stories people have to tell and the interaction is just as important as the music, because it's like the backstory to the music, and I get to hear what other people are doing and how the stuff affects other people. So I'm really looking forward to this. It's great to pierce the veil of the stage, you know, break that for a change and give us a chance to mix up with each other, the audience and the performer. Because we're all in the same boat, but we're all trying to do the same thing. We all depend on each other, so it's a good thing.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you before you know it.
celebrated guitarist Bill Kirshen, this year's featured artist in residence at Faces and Voices, hosted by Poconotes at the historic Tripp House in Scranton, speaking by phone with Dave Wetzel, master maker of cigar box guitars. Those are two representatives of the voices in the event's title, Faces and Voices. We'll turn now to the faces, to the four featured photographers whose work will be exhibited all that weekend and who will take part in a photography panel on Saturday afternoon. Brian Heinlein, for the past 15 years, has photographed an average of 2 to 3 concerts each week at venues ranging from small local clubs to regional arenas. After graduating from East Stroudsburg University, he accepted a position with a local newspaper. In 2002, Rolling Stone contacted him about photos he had taken of a Dave Matthews Band concert in Philadelphia. They were so impressed with his work and work ethic that he is still photographing events for Rolling Stone and other international agencies to which they heartily referred him. Since that time, Brian has traveled throughout the country to photograph major music festivals. And as a result, MTV hosted an exhibit of his photos at its studios in New York City for nearly a year. His photos have appeared worldwide in major entertainment magazines like Entertainment Weekly, Spin, and People, in newspapers such as the New York Times, the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal. Brian is a regular contributor to the Morning Call newspaper in Allentown, and he has exhibited his work at both the Sarah Street Grill and Main Street Jukebox in Stroudsburg.
To what extent are you relating to the music that these people play?
Well, I've always found that the music that I like to photograph the most is probably the music that I listen to the least. It's like punk, heavy metal, things like that. Shows with a lot of energy, a lot of chaos, bodies flying around all over the place. I find that stuff really fascinating, but I don't listen to it otherwise. But then on the other hand, I like a lot of singer-songwriter people, like Lucinda Williams, things like that. And from a photography standpoint, they're relatively static. They stand there and strum a guitar in front of a microphone. So I found that a lot of the music that I really enjoy photographing is not music that I would listen to day to day. But I photograph everything. I mean, you know, teen pop, death metal, country, you name it. Everything and anything. I know a lot of people tend to specialize in photographing of the music they like or have a particular interest in or things like that. But for me, it really became a challenge to try to take interesting photographs in different situations, you know, and I enjoyed that. I like the challenges of a club with maybe 2 lights compared to a big, you know, arena where there's 100,000 people or something, you know, it's just all the different environments and everything.
What about the sense of narrative? Is it isolated moments in the course of these performances, or is there sometimes a sense of narrative?
Well, for a lot of shows, you can only photograph the first 3 songs, which is roughly 15 minutes. You know, so a lot of the bigger shows, you're restricted in that regard. So you really have to work quickly and do a lot in a relatively small amount of time. You know, you're right. Shows where you can shoot the entire performance and have a lot more freedom, you really do get to really appreciate it more and become more involved. You feel like you're more involved with what's going on stage. But for shows where you have to go in and get, and especially if like you're on assignment, they have a list of photos you have to get in that 15 minutes, and you really have to work quickly, and then you're done.
Photographer Brian Heinlein. Award-winning photographer A. Elizabeth Baumeister currently resides in Dalton, and she works as a staff writer and photographer at the Abington Journal. She's recently started her own photography business, Ambient Declarations Photography, to capture images of 2 of her passions, nature and music.
The same question to each of you about capturing a sense of the music as you're getting the image of the musician making that music.
I think that's definitely my main goal when I shoot any kind of picture. I'm a writer as well, and that's kind of what I do. In school, the point where things started to kind of click for me as far as storytelling goes is when I realized that I can do the same thing with a photograph that I can with a story.
I was fascinated by what Brian said about the most engaging music is not necessarily the music that he likes personally.
Yeah, up until this past summer, I think most of the music that I shot was the type of music that I enjoy to listen to the most, and then I started shooting a concert series, a small concert series, Hillside Park in Clark Summit, and I got to shoot a lot of local bands that I had never heard before and kind of branch out in that way. And it was a really, really fun summer to just do that and, I guess, expand my portfolio a little bit in that way.
Have you shown your work, the musical images, as a body?
Not yet, no. Not my musical photography.
How do you think you'll approach picking some of the images?
Probably will ask my photographer friends to help me with that. I'm bad at judging my own work.
Photographer A. Elizabeth Baumeister. Alex Seeley is an artist from Lake Ariel who discovered his passion for photography in a black and white film course during his sophomore year at Keystone College. To satisfy his newfound love of telling a story through the lens of a camera, he pursued a career in journalism upon his 2012 graduation and has enjoyed access as both a freelance photographer and photojournalist to a variety of local and national musical performances to cover one of his favorite subjects, live music.
I asked the question about the interaction with the music, and I can understand if you're on assignment, just as Brian described, and you've got to get certain shots. What about that sense of the music interacting?
Well, I think that's my most favorite part of the experience. You know, people don't realize that you're time constrained, first of all, but that you're also in a very narrow path along the stage, and you've got another dozen photographers who are just as eager to get that great shot as you are. And then the artists are moving all over the place if you're shooting a more energetic show especially. So there's a lot of luck that goes into it, and skills and talent is definitely a huge part of it, but there's also this happenstance that I really enjoy. You know, one of my favorite photos, I was shooting a band, and he lifted his head up quickly, and there was a pop of light behind him, and it was for part of a second, and I hit the trigger, and that was it. But, you know, if it was a second off, if there was someone in my way, there was a lens in my shot, you know, all these things, sometimes the planets seem to align, and then you hold your breath and you get it. And that's like the feeling that I chase whenever I shoot the show. So obviously, shooting your favorite musicians is a huge, you know, that's a big perk, that's something that we all enjoy. But I think that, like, sense of chance is something that I chase every time I go to a show.
Photographer Alex Seeley. Chad Casterline has combined his love of travel and his curiosity about life and his passion for music, and the result is an impressive portfolio of photographic images. Dolores and Pat met Chad in 2007 while he was capturing photos of one of his musical idols, Roy Bookbinder, at the Honesdale Roots and Rhythm Festival.
And Chad, you were nodding before. How about you and coming to take musical photographs? I know you had a friendship that was instrumental.
Yeah, I went to college and I was actually enrolled for graphic design. And I enjoyed it. And then one of the classes I had to take was a photography class. And I met the professor, Jim Gavanis, in that class. And that was it for me. I was hooked just because his personality kind of hooked you in. And he did a really thorough job in teaching you how to, you know, the fundamentals of taking pictures. And it was just somebody I really respected.
So when you look at pictures like his of being in the Delta or when he's at Merle Fest, did that help shape your eye?
I think it did help because I think that's one of the aspects that I enjoy the most about Jim's work and the other photographers that I like to look at. They tell a story. It's almost, when you look at their work, it's more like reading than it is the visual elements there. But there's just so much in each picture. And I think it has shaped, because I kind of like to do the same thing when I shoot. I try to bring in as much as I can and just maybe get a different perspective if I can. But I definitely enjoy the storytelling aspect.
Give us an example of a musical event or a musician where you were able to do that.
I think all of the Pocono events are actually prime examples, just because Pat and Dolores let me wander around, and unlike some of the other photographers mentioned, I don't get an assignment. I don't have any specific things to shoot. They just let me wander around and, after the fact, kind of show everybody what happened or what they missed sometimes. So I think I've used those experiences to kind of develop a style like that.
We talked about the occasion when Roy Bookbinder was here. What kind of experience did you have shooting Roy?
Roy holds a spot in my heart because Roy was one of the very first people I've ever shot at a big festival. Roy was kind of rooted to me meeting Pat and Dolores, and then I've seen him many times after that. And he's another interesting one too, because Roy is another storytelling kind of person. Instead of the visual element, he brings the musical element with it, too. You know, to play off of what Brian said earlier, too, Roy's one of those guys that it's very difficult to shoot because he doesn't move around a lot, and he's just kind of there. He usually sits when he plays, and I think you could tell a very good story of Roy by his facial expressions, because some of his stories strike a lot of different emotions, and they go all over the place, and it's interesting.
Photographer Chad Casterline speaking with us in anticipation of Faces and Voices 4, hosted by Poconotes at the historic Tripp House in Scranton, September 19th and 20th. Dave Wetzel will be on hand showcasing the cigar box guitars that he crafts by hand. We heard him earlier talking about guitars while he was here at the WVIA studios. He gave us a demonstration.
This is a license plate, Stompin'. I like that one. I saw that on eBay, so I had to buy that and make a guitar out of that one.
And that's a Montana plate.
That's Montana, and it's not in tune, so I'm not playing this one. But this is the one that's from the 1960s. It's an old Cedar cigar box. They're fretless, so I have to have a slide.
If we didn't know it was a cigar box, we'd say, that's a pretty amazing instrument. Tell us about the bolt.
The bridge is a bolt, and the nut is a bolt. And I try to keep it as plain and simple as I can, to be as minimal as I can. I mean, I could buy an actual professional bridge and actual nut, but it's not the same thing. It's not homemade. And this is kind of how they were made. They made with what they had. But I make my own necks, get the boxes. And, you know, some of the parts, like this one is electromagnetic pickup. Most of them are piezo pickup. So it just picks up the vibration. This picks up the vibration of the strings, and the others pick up the vibration of the box. So the ones that are piezo, you can actually thump them and, you know, picks up electric, or you plug them in. So I keep it as simple as I can.
Dave Wetzel of Snickel Cigar Box Guitars will be on hand at Faces and Voices 4. He'll have his instruments on hand so that you can look at them, you can pick them up, and you can play them. Dolores Hippler, who with Patrick Harper co-founded Poconotes, and they will present Faces and Voices 4. And Dolores has a remarkable vision, and she also has the nuts and bolts and tells us what we can expect.
This is a two-day event. It is an artist in residency, immersion into music, and truly there are so many elements, all of which come together and help to bring the music to life for 2 days. We have a really, really good posse in 2015. I'm really proud of them. The doors will open to the Tripp House on September 19th at around noon, and you'll have access to a photo exhibit by four of the best and brightest of NEPA photographers. But then we'll have Dave Wetzel, who's back by command, for another collection of his cigar box guitars. He'll have an interactive display. People can come in and touch them and hear them and ask about how he built them, and they're also there for purchase. All of that is free. There will be a photography roundtable this year rather than an out-and-out workshop, where people will be sharing. We have our four photographers who will be sharing what they know and how they came about, and people can bring their cameras and ask their questions and find out how they can do what these guys now do. And the Porch Time Jam, that came about when Jim Gavanis, who's traveled to the South quite a bit, he realized that part as community, part lack of air conditioning, people just tended to be out on their porch, where one guy would go out with a guitar and a couple of neighbors would join him with a coffee can or a comb or another guitar, and they would just make it a community event. The Tripp House is this amazingly expansive front porch, and so we'll bring it out there, and the photographers will walk around and capture what they can. That night, Bill Kirchen from Commander Cody and Lost Planet Airmen will put on a concert. And again on Sunday, the venue will be open. And what we've heard year after year is from people in the area who said, well, I've lived here all of my life, but I was never invited to a wedding here or a bridal shower. I've never been able to come in and see it. The doors are open, the neighbors can come in, and they get to see this extremely beautifully appointed home brought to life with art and music and such big hearts. There's something really beautiful that transpires in the house when people bring themselves and their creation to decorate it. And you don't really notice it until you're ready to walk out the door and check to make sure everything's the way we found it. And you realize that's empty again. But on the Sunday, Bill Kirchen, we don't know exactly how this is going to pan out, but we're going to do another guitar workshop. But Bill is an electric guy, so everyone will have to bring an amp. I am not bringing 20 amps, so bring an amp. And again, that is also free. But we could not have done any of this without the love and support from the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture and Pocono Arts Council. They have given us very generous funds to help us bring these educational and inspiring events together. I do also want to mention the Gilmartins, because I know they listen to Erica Funke's Art Scene all the time. They are the loving tenders of the Trip House, and they have essentially given us the keys and trust that the house has stood for a couple hundred years before us and will be standing when we leave. All music is 8 notes, and this year we've brought it from the blues to whatever everyone wants to bring. People will be sharing photos of their favorite artists or the music that inspires them to make their cameras click, and whatever they share is what is meant to be, because as I said at the beginning, they create the event. This is their event, and we're just putting mechanics together. We just got the key for the door.
And the vision and all the rest. And don't forget that you don't forget WVIA.
We did donate 8 packages to WVIA spring auction, and it's everything from here's 2 tickets, just try us out, to here's 4 tickets, if you don't think we'll let you leave again, bring your neighbors, you can get out together, to the VIP package where you'll have everything. You'll get to have front row seats, you'll get autographed CDs, autographed photos, you'll get to stay and have dinner with the artists when the doors are closed, when they're getting ready for the evening performance. So there's something for everybody. So, you know, this is a good way to see a show and have it be a donation. So it's not actually a ticket purchase. It's a donation to a very, very worthwhile cause.
Dolores Hippler and Patrick Harper are founders of Poconotes. Poconotes will present Faces and Voices for a 2-day artist residency September 19th and 20th at the historic Trip House in Scranton. There will be a photography exhibition featuring the work of the 4 photographers we met today, Brian Heinlein, Alex Seeley, A. Elizabeth Baumeister, and Chad Casterline. And the 4 photographers will take part in a photography roundtable. An evening concert will feature the legendary guitarist Bill Kirchen on Saturday night. He is a Grammy-nominated guitarist, singer, and songwriter who has become widely known for the trademark big rig guitar riffs that powered the Commander Cody hit Hot Rod Lincoln. And since then, he has recorded 7 critically acclaimed CDs of his own. They've made him one of the musical elder statespeople of today's Americana scene. He's known as a titan of the Telecaster. Each of his performances recalls a half century of guitar legends, from country and western virtuosos like Merle Travis to rock legends like Jimi Hendrix and many others. He'll be on hand for a Saturday night concert, and that's at the Trip House in September, and a guitar workshop on Sunday afternoon. So you can meet him and hear him September 19th and 20th at the Trip House in Scranton as part of Faces and Voices 4. For more information on the web, Poconotes.com, and that's Poconotes, Poconotes.com. And we're sharing this Poconotes preview now because, as we just heard, Dolores and Pat have donated 8 Faces and Voices packages to the WVIA auction that gets underway on April 21st and will run through May 5th. So you can check the WVIA website for details about the WVIA spring auction. It's online at WVIA.org, WVIA.org. And many thanks to Dolores Hippler and Pat Harper of Poconotes for their generosity.